عليه خسارة للعاشقين.
يا صاحبي قولي ايه، قولي يا صاحبي ايه، يا صاحبي قولي ايه،
good morning. It is 3 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and you are tuned to your very, very own community radio station, KBOO. This is Positively Revolting, and I'm Ani.
And I'm Lynn.
And this morning, we are excited to be discussing strike debt with George Kafensis, who is the primary author of the book, The Debt Resistors Operations Manual. He's been involved with strike debt, with the Occupy Student Debt Campaign, and he's a retired professor of philosophies from the University of Southern Maine. Thank you so very much for being with us, George.
Yes, I just want to say one thing. I'm not the primary author.
Ooh.
This has been a collective project that involved many, many people.
Well, excellent.
30 or 40 people.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. Also, I've been a member of Strike Debt from the beginning, but I'm speaking now as a member, not for the not for Strike Debt.
We would want nothing less. Very good.
Okay. So. Okay.
All right. Well,
all right.
Excellent.
Thank you for being, we're starting out our News and Public Affairs Day here at KBOO. This is our membership drive, and we thank you so much for being part of kicking that off for us today, George. And we thought that the Debt Resistors Operation Manual would be a really good place to start.
That's right, because for the next 12 hours of KBOO's programming, we are broadcasting news and information all about fighting the neoliberalist agenda. And we figure how best to start that conversation than with looking at debt and how it keeps us in chained in that system. So many times on Positively Revolting, we have held conversations about many ways that the corporate elite attempt to keep the rest of us on the hook and dependent on their systems. One of the very best examples of this, really, to me, is our debt system. With each debt we pay, we impoverish ourselves and we enrich financiers. And that seems to me to be the antithesis of what really needs to be happening. It strikes me as indenturing ourselves to our new corporate masters. But really, what's the alternative? Well, enter strike debt. Strike debt is building a movement of debt resistors fighting for economic justice and liberation based on principles of anti-oppression work, autonomy, and democratic decision-making, direct action. George, let's start there. As you say, you had been involved with strike debt since the beginning. Tell us more about what strike debt is and how it started.
Okay, yeah. Actually, a good place to start speaking about how strike debt started is the Occupy movement. Most of the people who are now participating in strike debt were very involved with the Occupy movement, and the part, of course, the Occupy movement was a nationwide story, but we came out of the New York Occupy Wall Street experience, and so the first thing to remember about strike debt is that many of the ways in which it operates has come out of the assumptions, the political assumptions that many of us developed, actually, in the Occupy movement. So that's the first. So we're talking about 2011. And at the end of the occupation in New York, one of the most important things that was continually coming up in the discussions was the issue of debt, especially of student debt. Many of the participants of Occupy Wall Street were, if not students, then former students who were dealing with a tremendous amount of debt. And in fact, it was in Occupy that I began to notice something which eventually turned out to be very important for strike debt, which was that people began to almost spontaneously, it looked like to me, to make placards saying, I owe $50,000, or I owe $70,000, or I can't face the future because I owe $100,000. In other words, that what was happening is that the weight... the political, social, and psychological weight of debt was becoming a major source of anxiety to large numbers of people, especially those who were at the demonstrations and at the occupations in the city. So on noticing this and, recognizing that... this was an important experience that needed to be brought up. A number of us thought that student debt was so important an experience now that we needed to begin to organize against it in using the principles of organization mm-hmm. that we developed in the Occupy experience. And so that was the formation of Occupy Student Debt Campaign. And we developed a variety of ways of speaking about debt that we began to realize something very, very important, I think. And it was that debt is a system. It's not just you have a particular debt, like student debt. Most people who are now going through life are beginning to discover that in order to satisfy the basic conditions of life, one needed to get into debt, in fact, big debt. So in order to get educated, we mm-hmm. discovered that students needed to get into debt for $20,000-$30,000. In fact, now the average...
I was going to say more than that.
Yeah. So we began to realize that it was important to understand debt as a system and to begin to oppose it in a systematic way. And so therefore we started to think about developing a movement of debtors. And this transition that took place from the Occupy Student Debt campaign to Strike Debt took place about 2 years ago now, in the spring and summer of 2012. And
I want to sort of stop right there and invite Teresa and Linda in to join us right now so that we can spend a couple moments talking about the need to support independent media so that we can actually use the airwaves, excuse me, to talk to each other about our experience and about ways forward together from that experience. Because KBOO has traditionally held a role as a, as a hub of brilliant conversation and information that is relevant to our lives so that we can, in fact, create our own analysis of the world and what's going on around us, and we can work together to create social change. Actually, social change is a part of our programming mission. Those are values that I have to say you, dear listener, need to support. Please give us a call at 877-500-5266. We are talking with George Kafensis this morning, who is one of the authors of the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. It's a project of Strike Debt. We are talking right now about the origins of Strike Debt. But right now, we need Teresa and Linda to join us and entice a few of you.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Portland. Good morning, Cascadia. Yeah. Well, here we are on KBOO Portland, and I want you to get revolting. I'm feeling revoltingly positive, and I enjoy listening to Positively Revolting, and I bet you do too. And this is a perfect topic. The Debt Resistors Operations Manual. Oh, hell yes. You need this book. Call us right now, please. 877-500-5266. You're so clever. You held off all this time for just the right thingy, just the right tchotchke. Well, we've got it. The Debt Resistors Operations Manual. And Linda can tell you all about it.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of information in this. It's like a practical guide to how to get through bankruptcy, to how to handle credit card debt, for
to
how to keep
stick
yourself
it to the
away
man.
From the reporting agencies. And you know, we know here at KBOO that things are hard for people out there, that it's much harder than gets portrayed on regular media. So many people on the streets. I saw someone sleeping on a street I'd never seen someone sleeping on before the other day. And this kind of information is real, practical information for people you may know right now, people who are facing real difficulties. If you're one of the people who are not in those situations, we're speaking directly to you because like it or not, and I hope you like it, this is one of your chances to help carry the other person who can't. And we're going to have more of those chances as we go forward in this world. And you can play an important role in making a difference by bringing KBOO and the real news about the real situation in the country and the world and in Oregon. So it's 877 500 800-520-5266. Get excited about it and get inspired. I want to tell you a short story. We have two thank yous. Dave from Portland, he upped his electronic funds transfer, so just a few more dollars a month out of his checking account, making such a difference for us. But I want to tell you about Deborah. If you were on earlier, you heard people talking about Colorado and marijuana refugees going there to get medical marijuana. Well, this Deborah called us, and she is in Colorado right now, and she called us because she was visiting Portland, and she was listening to KABU at the start of the fund drive, and someone talked about his experience becoming a volunteer and being trained as a reporter and a host here at KBOO, and she was so moved by a station that will freely, that's right, we don't charge you a cent for coming in here and learning all of those skills, all of those classes, for the what she called the generous extension of community radio into the community. And that's really true. And she called us from Colorado to become a member this morning.
That's terrific.
So please let that inspire you and call us at 877-500-5266. Become one of those that helps carry the load for those who are having such a hard time right now.
I'm asking you to spend 3 minutes on the phone, and I'm asking you to join the resistance. Get revolting and call us 877-500-5266. 877 is the toll-free number, 500-KABU, 877-500-5266. Now, you're just going to spend those puny 3 minutes, and during that time, you'll decide whether to send us your money via a credit card, which we can do, or you can... Well, there's different ways, but what I like to suggest is that $10 a month, which is what I do. Actually, I do $25 a month, but $10 a month, that's a nice painless amount. Now, it comes out of your checking account. We can set it up. What happens is we send a letter to you. You send it back. There's an authorization, yada, yada. And before you know it, you've got the Debt Resistors Operation Manual in your hand, and you are a KBOO member, which means you are a voting member, which means now you have to keep up with us. Ha-ha. But we'll get into that later.
You know, it also means that you get discounts throughout the city as a member of KBOO. There's lots of the small entrepreneurs and small businesses that support KABU because they know that KABU is inside the community. How many events do you hear us announce that we are part of? We support so many different events. All of these things, it's a vibrant, living, wonderful place here at KBOO, and it relies on you, our listener, to make the difference. 877-500-5266. Now, we do have that great swag for you. We have the Debt Resistors Operations Manual, what you've been hearing about right now, a wonderful gift for yourself or for someone else. And that's only $60 a year contribution. You know, that's only $5 a month. It really is a little bit. The other way that you can become a member and show your support is by coming right down here. We love to have people walk in the station, get a chance to walk around and see where this radio is coming to you from. Our building is 20 Southeast 8th, and you'll see a giant bright mural on the front of it. Really easy to get to.
So, and bike racks that are headphones.
That's right.
All of that. Well, yeah. Linda, Teresa, thank you so much for letting our listeners know how they can support KABU and why it's important that they dial 877-500-5266. We're going to continue our talk with George Kafensis. And we'll be checking back with you in a few to see how we're doing on that $500 goal for this morning. So again, that number, 877-500-5266. You can also stop by 20 Southeast 8th, see those, see that bike stand that is in fact a pair of headphones that one of our volunteers welded his very own self. Multi-talented folks that we have here. You know, you can take a tour of the station, find out how radio looks from the inside of your speaker. George, are you still there?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm still here.
Great. We appreciate your understanding of the importance of raising money for independent media like KABU. So we were just talking about what strike debt is and how it began, the importance of it. There's this idea, I guess it's sort of the common prevailing dominant thought, and it's certainly put out there and held up and espoused by corporate-owned media, and that is that people that find themselves in debt and maybe unsupportable debt, well, then they've really kind of blown it, that they have practiced some sort of irresponsibility, and they get what they deserve. But to me, This seems little more than blaming the victim, as you were talking about, you know, the price of a good education. Unless you are, you know, born with the silver spoon in your mouth that your parents can pay for everything, or you happen to be one of the exceptional folks that is able to get a full-funded scholarship, to just get a decent education is going to land you in $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 worth of debt right there at the very beginning of your life. Can you talk a little bit more about breaking through that mindset that says, you have succumbed to debt because you have no willpower, because you have behaved in a spendy fashion?
Well, this has been part of the issue that we have to deal with. Almost every political movement has to deal with the type of inertia that the system continually projects onto people, so that so for example, the gay movement had to break through the taboos of openly discussing sexuality. Similarly, for us, we've had to deal with the fact that the creditor class in the United States has injected the view that debt is to be in debt is something to be ashamed of, and especially to be in debt and not being able to pay the debt off is to be almost a sinner beyond all words. This psychological inertia that is injected into us has to be gotten rid of. And so what we've been trying to do, the first phase of our work, and we're sort of winding down this first phase of our work, was to begin to deal with exactly the point that you just made, to sort of do a catharsis of the ideology of debt that is so much around us. And we've been trying to understand how to do this. And in fact, we've developed the Debt Resistors Operations Manual, the book that you are now making available to your listeners. We developed this book as part of our effort to liberate debtors first, at least mentally, and then begin to develop a strategy for moving ahead politically.
Yeah, one of the things I love about this book that I think is so important, it is really an operations manual. You give very, you give a lot of history because, you know, debt started being, I mean, there have been debtors' prisons. Debt has been a heinous, shameful, quote-unquote, thing for centuries, and I like sort of breaking through that, you know, that you as a person are not your credit rating kind of philosophy.
Yeah.
And in this book, it's really an operations manual. I mean, you give people letters, examples of letters about what to write to collections agencies. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you start out with a great history of what goes on and just exactly how we've been coerced into supporting outrageous interest, usury, I would call it, and excuse me, and financing the credit card companies and also collection agencies.
Yes.
Yeah, our own little selves, we get to finance them.
Yes. I want to speak a little bit more about this phase of our work.
Yes, please.
But in fact, actually, the system itself did something very important that sort of energized us to move in the direction of a debtors organization, which was in 2008. They gave a practical lesson to the population of the United States as to which debt is okay and which debt is not. The debt of the big banks, of the insurance companies, was okay, and if they couldn't pay it off, it was even further okay. The federal government would inject billions, and some would say, if you totaled it up, trillions of dollars to support the debt of the large banks that were on the verge of basically defaulting on their debts. The federal government did that, but it did next to nothing to support the debt of the average person, the household debts, the mortgages, the student loan debts, the medical debts. They did nothing. So what that lesson proved was, and we certainly made this a cornerstone of our history, you might say, is that it showed to people, you know, who mattered as far as this the government of the United States is concerned. If your debt is big, then in fact you will be saved big time. If your debt is small, then you're going to be allowed to drown, as in fact so many have been in the last few years. So the 2008 experience is very important because I think it starts a general recognition that this ideology of the debtor as someone to be ashamed begins to become less and less powerful as we begin to say, well, if I'm ashamed, why shouldn't AIG be ashamed as well? But they don't seem to be very ashamed.
No, that au contraire, as a matter of fact.
Au contraire, you're right. It's in fact, you can put it on your CV.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to. So that was very important, and we began to then see that there are different ways of organizing debtors versus, let's say, organizing trade unions. And different from the type of organization that many of us have done against war and inequalities.
Let's hold it right there for just a moment. We can talk about what that difference is. I can imagine there's a whole lot of miasma to break through there. But right now, let's go ahead and talk to Linda and Teresa one more time to see, in fact, how we are doing with support here on KBOO, your radio station, your very own community radio station. We are the oldest independently operated, listener-supported community radio station in this country. And that's a legacy that I'm absolutely proud of, having been involved with the station, I don't know, more than half my life now. But I think that it's a huge part of why Portland and the Northwest has developed the way it has, because KBOO has been here in our ears, really broadening public discourse and being that hub of organizing work, being that hub of information that is unfettered by corporate bias. Don't you agree, Linda?
Absolutely. And, you know, this show is really important. I'm sitting here starting to get steamed and also starting to really agree with George as he tells us about, you know, the shame that we're supposed to feel, we the public, when we go deep in debt and when we can't get out of it and maybe we start to lose our home or our sister or our brother in those circumstances are. And yet the banks just get to go on celebrating off of a lot of money that they've basically been stealing, siphoning off from the rest of us. And so I'm really glad this story is on. I don't think we're going to hear this on any other station here in Portland. Please pick up your phones right now and show your support by dialing 877-500-5266. Our phones have been ringing. We really appreciate that. We'll have some names to thank you in a moment. It makes such a difference. But, you know, every show just like this, Positively Revolting Radio, does have a goal, and we need to make those goals because each one of them is an increment to our total goal. So if you're out there listening to this story and it really resonates with you, please, this is the particular moment to pick up your phone or go to the web at kboo.fm if you prefer to do it quietly and fast on the web. It really only takes 3 to 4 minutes doing it here. You can get a copy of this great book, The Debt Resistors Operations Manual. I would like to speak for a moment, though, to those who are doing well in the community. Portland has a vibrant, enlivening, higher income community as well. And some of that is young people who are now software engineers. There's some great startups around mobile apps and that kind of thing. But whatever way it is, if you're out there and you're listening and you are doing better and you know you are and you're not, you've seen other people suffering, please right now make a huge difference with your money. You know, make a pledge of $500, make a pledge of $1,000. People do that because they can and they care and they want community radio to go. Everybody makes a difference at the level that they best can. And if that's a level you can, I'm really shooting for you to call us right now at 877-500-5266. And just as importantly, if all you have is $5, please call us as well. 877-500-5266. You all blend together to make the difference.
I'd like to thank Ben for calling in from Portland and Slap. Called in also from Portland. You can join Ben and Slap by calling 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number, 877-500-KABU, 877-500-5266. And I would like to suggest that you spend 3 minutes on the phone with us and pledge $10 a month. That's my standard. Can you do $10 a month? Because if you can, you will be a sustaining member. We can take that out of your bank account painlessly. Now, I would like to ask you to get an attitude. I am feeling absolutely positively revolting. I'm feeling revolting, and I hope that you are too. And I am a debt resistor and proud of it. And I'm really glad that this manual is available and that we're putting it out. And you can call it that. You can get that and a t-shirt by pledging $10 a month. Come on, you can do that. 877-500-5266. And the thing is, man, if you only knew just how low down these collection agencies are. I mean, my God, what they do is they buy the debt for pennies on the dollar and they harass you and they don't care. This is the fun part. They don't care if the debt is valid. They'll double, they'll triple the debt and they'll come after you in court and you've got to fight it. I fight it. I have screwed credit agencies. Hello.
We love that about you, Teresa. I love your piratey kind of attitude. You're my girl. And yet the number to call for supporting KABU is 877-500-5266. We have that piratical attitude here. At least many of us do.
Give it to us, not the banksters.
It is so important, again, as that attitude of resistance. And KABU is here providing a platform, bolstering that attitude. The anti-capitalist it's a prevalent mindset, let's just say here, especially on Friday mornings. And it's a beautiful thing, right? Well worth your support. 877-500-5266.
That's right. That's the number. Please do pick up your phone and do it right now. You make the difference.
Absolutely. For your $60 contribution, I want to remind you, you can pick up a copy of the Debt Resistors Operations Manual, which is the a
project of Strike Debt.
Thank you for
you're very welcome.
Well, and you know, this is really News and Public Affairs Day here at KBLO, and I forget to announce that.
It really is.
We just got a call from Skip. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to challenge? He just pledged $365, and he challenges someone to match him.
Oh, that is a beautiful
thing.
Skip. Thank you, Skip.
Go Skip.
I want to remind people that you are listening to KABU, and at 9 o'clock, we will have a talk from former investment banker. Turned activist Nomi Prinz, author of All the President's Bankers, The Hidden Alliances That Drive American Power.
You know, News and Public Affairs Day is one of our listeners' favorite days. They do the best.
It's true. It's one of my favorite days of the entire year here at KABU. Also at 10 o'clock, we'll hear from a rousing speech by investigative journalist and activist John Nichols, co-author of Dollarocracy on Getting Money Out of Politics. At 11 o'clock, the 28th Amendment Roadshow comes to Portland, featuring Portland City Commissioner Amanda Fritz, local activist Lloyd Marbette, and ever so much more. And there's more and more and more all day long until 8 o'clock tonight. Again, fighting the neoliberalist agenda together. I also want to remind people that you can contact Lynn and myself at Positively Revolting through the emails at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. We also encourage you, if you do such a thing as Facebook, please to like our show on Facebook, where you can find us as facebook.com/
Positively revolting, strangely enough.
Yeah, yes. There's a theme. And now back to George. Thank you, George.
Yes, I'm here. I was just describing a little bit of history of Strike Debt and its first phase of activity of where we've been looking at the type of ideology and that has been injected in us concerning debt, because in fact, if you look at the history of debt, you'd see that much of the world has been, including the world's religions, have been against debt and often have had religious sanctions against debt. For example, Christianity up until a few couple, well, actually 300 years ago, was basically against usury, against charging interest on loans. And in fact, when Dante wrote about the hell, he had a nice spot in hell for the bankers who were charging interest to their fellow co-religionists.
And now Dick Cheney can be part of that ring. Sorry.
Pardon?
Now Dick Cheney can be part of that ring. Sorry, that's just a little thing.
Yeah, he's back. He's definitely in there. And you should see what Dante has in store for him.
Oh, I would love to see it. Now, were you guys inspired by the Jubilee debt cancellation movement at all? Because that wasn't that kind of part of that.
Well, many of us, certainly some older ones, were part of the Jubilee Debt Campaign. Well, basically the what used to be called the anti-globalization movement of the 1990s, mm-hmm. the early part of the 21st century. In fact, what happened was, I think, that the struggle against the big debts of third world countries, of post-colonial countries, that was the object of protest of many of these demonstrations that took place, including the famous one in Seattle in 1999. Yes, it did. The kind of debt that was central to this movement was what we call macro debt, the debt of nations. Mm-hmm. And it took basically the financial crisis of 2008 to have many people, well, people like myself, who were very much part of the anti-globalization movement, the demand for the cancellation of third world debt, to begin to look at what we can call micro debt, the debt of individuals, of families, of households. These kinds of debts we began to understand were the heart of much of the way in which this system oppresses a large percentage of the population. We are, as the saying goes, the 99% are in debt. So we began to focus our attention on this after 2009, and after Occupy, we began to then say, okay, one of the first things that we need to do is to survey the territory. And in fact, the Debt Resistors Operations Manual is in a way in the United States at this point. It's a particular kind of debt. Remember, the capitalists lend money to each other. And that's their kind of debt. It's what I call profit debt, the debt that
captures that distinction.
And that distinction is pretty much where I would love to get to next. And that is, there's a chapter in the book called Fringe Finance Transaction Products and Services, Making Bank on the Unbanked. It starts with, who says, anyone how extremely expensive it is to be poor. The chapter goes on to note, the predicament of the poor in our debt finance system, it costs poor people significantly more to use money, to spend it, to save it, to invest it, to borrow it, or to send it back home. And they have, meanwhile, the AFS owners and investors who enjoy lower financing costs than you do and have more money to begin with, profit from all of your losses and acquire pieces of your debt to make bank on. Can you go ahead and elaborate on this? How does this, obviously, the system is stacked in favor, even talk a little bit more about how the poor are taxed at every turn with these products and services that benefit our ruling corporate elite.
Yeah, well, I think that you've eloquently given it in a nutshell what actually happens in our society, which is that in order to enter into the financial system, you have to basically collateral meant something material, something like a house or a farm or some merchandise. These were the collateral of the older period. But beginning more or less after the Second World War, having a regular wage was the basis upon which you could have collateral and be able to have a bank account and be able to take out loans and to basically carry on, be part of the financial system. Having a regular wage, however, was not something that was available, especially the people of color were often kept out of the regular wage.
Well, and they were redlined also.
They were redlined, and so what happens is that, in fact, their wages were doubly exploited, because not only were they not given the full value of their work, but in fact, on the basis of the irregular wage, since often unemployment was the fate of workers of color, that not only was there an irregular wage, but whenever the wage was available, they basically had to give part of it up to the banking system, and not only to their employer. So they got doubly exploited. And this process became part of the system of that led to tremendous profit, because individually it might be a small paycheck, but of course if you multiply it by many millions across the country, you're talking about billions of dollars.
Or as they say, Everett Dirksen, a very old senator that you may remember, used to say, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon you're talking real money.
Yes, right? Right. These are very important parts of the way in which, for example, there's no necessity for this. There can be check cashing. It could be dependent upon, that could be done at a minimal cost. But the check cashing that's done in the United States is quite substantial. Then, of course, as family ties and as community ties break down, the ability to, for example, get a little extra money from your friends or from your family in order to make it to the end of the month, that begins to break down.
Right. And no more rent parties. People used to have
rent parties. Yes, exactly. When that happens, when that breakdown occurs, in come these fringe finance organizations that say, oh, okay, you need another $100 to make it to the end of the month. Fine. Here it is. But, of course, on the basis of that loan, you're going to be paying back $125. And you can only do that when you get your next paycheck. And when you do that, you're going to actually then have to face not being able to get to the end of the month. And so, therefore, you lose, lose, and lose until you begin to become, basically facing a debt that is many times what you originally started off with. This is hell. This is a financial
hell. Yeah, I was going to say the stress of that on human beings is completely obscene and inhumane. People should not have to live that way.
And so, for example, in many countries in Europe, check cashing is done by the post office, and and of course, one of the most important questions in this country is the wage itself, as we now know, is not capable of making it possible for human beings, for many human beings in our country, to live in a decent and dignified manner.
Right. Well, and so, I remember being able to go to the bank of origin and being able to cash a check, which I don't think can be done anymore without a huge charge. Of
yeah, and a small flap of skin from behind your right ear and a note from your dead grandmother. I mean, it's insane to try to get a bank to honor its check. Not to mention the electronic benefits cards, which, you know, if you are receiving any kind of state support, now get ran through a, quote, you know, sort of a debit card system that, again, you incur fees for. Who's it profiting and what choice did you have about it? None. And who's it profiting? Yeah, you're ruling corporate masters once again. George, I'm going to jump in for a moment and talk to Teresa and Linda one more time very quickly at this point. 877-500-5266, the number to call. Hey, Teresa.
Ring our bell, 877-500-5266.
Right.
I'd like to thank Bridges Cafe at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard for providing food. Alamir at 223 Southwest Stark Avenue. Taste Unique at 2134 Southeast Division. These are local businesses that support us, and that's one of the wonderful things about community radio is we get support from the community. We don't get it from corporations. I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm here with Linda Olson Osterlund, and we would like for you to get a copy of the Debt Resistors Operation Manual, because why would you give your money to those bottom-feeding parasites called collection agencies when you could learn how to beat them? Come on, $5 a month will get you that. You'll save so much more, but Linda Olson Osterlund can tell you more about this situation because we got people calling in.
That's right. We do have people calling in, and the number is 877-500-5266. And you know who's been showing up? That's right. Out of towners, not Portland's, have been calling in. Patty from Salem, thank you so much. Alexandra from Vancouver, thank you so much. And Michael from New York City, that's right, thank you so much. All of them have become members in the last little bit while you guys have been listening to great radio. It's your chance now to join that stream of people, become part of the community radio in a new way. You've always been part of it when you listen because you're in the community and you're caring about it and you're hearing the information you want or the music you want. But become it as a member. It makes such a difference. It brings this radio out to you literally and, as you can see, via the web and via streaming live to New York and parts afar. So please do let that inspire you as well and let you make a difference right now at 877-500-5266. You know, we love all of the people who call in and all of the people who become members, but we also really want to point out and call out on the people who especially can do it right now, who aren't facing the tremendous debt, who aren't having so much difficulty. Take this moment to make a difference with your money and give it the level you can give. That might be $300, that might be $500, it might be like Skip did last hour and called in his own matching grant at $365. Whatever it is, please take a moment right now. Know that you make a huge difference. 877-500-5266. And while you're doing that, by the way, really do pick up the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. This information is important, and if you're not someone who's struggling with debt, no doubt you know people, friends and neighbors, people who are having to move out of their house and do short sales, students and friends who don't feel like they can really go on in school because their debt is already so high.
Oh, Linda, if people only knew, if you knew the information that is in this book, you would realize how valuable it is. I mean, literally valuable. I, for example, have ripped $80,000 from U.S. Bank and kicked it like a football through the goalposts of life because I knew how to do it. And their subprime loan is gone, and I'm sitting pretty because I know the facts, and you can know the facts. Call us 877-500-5266. Come on, get an attitude. Get positively
That's right.
revolting.
Ring your bells. Ring our bells. It's exciting
well, Teresa,
when you call. It makes such a difference.
No one could say Teresa does not have attitude. 877-500-5266. Give us a ring right about now. It would be fabulous to hear from you. And we have only 12 minutes left here this morning in Positively Revolting Talk Radio. We are here with George Kafensis this morning, one of the authors of Debt Resistors Operations Manual. He's with Strike Debt since the beginning. And we are talking right now about
what it is that people can do. We know that we don't need to be ashamed. We know that this is a part of the system that works against us, that continues our own oppression. And George, if we could spend the last part of our show focused on really that piratical attitude so displayed by Teresa, if we could talk about how it is that we do resist debt.
Okay, well, this is the phase of our work, the action phase that we can talk about. In fact, one part of our action phase was launched more than a year and a half ago. It was called the Rolling Jubilee. Maybe your listeners are not sure about what the Rolling Jubilee is.
Yeah, please let, it's a brilliant idea, but please do explain it, because it hasn't been broadly talked about, and I think it would behoove us to get those details again.
Yeah, because we have to remember some general point. You know, we're familiar with what it is to do, let's say, a strike on a factory or in an office or a school, but we have to remember that when you're involved with debt, you're involved with the financial system. And the financial system has its own terrain, and it's an extremely complicated one. And so often when you act in that terrain, you're going to have to start thinking of new ways of organizing. And this has been part of the way we came to the Rolling Jubilee. First, what do we mean by a jubilee? A jubilee is an old idea, an old term, for describing a practice that used to go on in the ancient Mesopotamian world, but which continued down to early modern times as well. But the Jubilee was every 49 years, there would be a cancellation of debt, a liberation from slavery, and the return of the land to the original occupiers. This is an old idea, and the notion of a jubilee we take part of it as the idea of the cancellation of debt. And we had the following recognition that, and it's something that your listeners should know, that whenever a bank, for example, has a defaulted loan, it often decides to sell the loan to debt collection agencies that buy the loan at pennies on the dollar. It could be between 1 or 2 or 5 cents on the dollar. So if you have a $1,000 loan, and the bank decides that it can't, it's in default, the bank sells it for tax purposes and other reasons to a debt collection agency, which buys it for perhaps $20-$30 for the $1,000 loan. And then they get their
they buy it for $20 to $30, the whole loan.
Yes, the whole loan.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to reemphasize that so people get that.
It's very important. So they get their Spanish Inquisition operative to then start hounding you. And because here's the situation, even if they can't get the full $1,000 from you, if they can only scare you to give them $100, they've already perhaps doubled or tripled their profit on what they bought the loan for. So this is the situation that you must recognize. If for any reason your debt goes into a collection agency, you have to then, when they call you up, you should tell them, I understand the scheme now, and I know what you're doing. My loan you bought for next to nothing, and you're going to give me the idea that I owe everything to you.
Well, and one of the things in this book that I really like is that you give the group of you that have done this gives very concrete things. There's even examples of letters you can write to credit agencies to ask who owns the debt, and just really practical things that people are not. This is like new information for, of course, everyone but Teresa, for lots of us besides Teresa out there about how to actually practically handle it.
And Teresa could teach us.
She probably could.
And she would love to. And she does a little of that every Thursday morning here on KBOO.
Okay, very good. I'll have to listen in.
You must tune in.
We'll send you information about her show.
So then what happened was we then began to think, well, what if we bought these loans and then canceled them? What would occur then? Would it be possible? And it took a number of months of talking to tax lawyers and to accountants and to people who, you know, there are some turncoats, there's some double agents, you might say, in the debt collection industry itself.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating. Uh-huh. I've met a few. And I'm sure most of the people there are very predatory, but there are still some who feel somewhat guilty about their role, and so they have also advised us about these matters. So it took a little while, but then we realized that in fact what we could do is actually buy loans for 2 or 3 or 4% of the face value of the loan. And then instead of sending the Spanish Inquisition out, we send the strike debt angels out to tell the debtor that in fact we've canceled their debt. This in fact has been done for almost $15 million worth of debt. What we've been able to do is that we had a one-night telethon. And in that telethon, we more or less got $600,000. People sent in. I'm sure part of the reason why we were so successful is that we spoke to something really important in what people are feeling—a vast number of people—which is that we need some action. We need to take some action against these collection agencies and their mentors, the big banks.
It's time for this jig to be up, isn't it?
And
yes.
And I think
so.
Go ahead.
The Rolling Jubilee is one of our first steps in an action phase of beginning to see what can be done to turn the table, to turn the power relations around, to make it possible for debtors to more or less become the to begin to take control of their lives,
right,
and
on.
To begin to take a step away from the from this whole economy that now puts us further and further, because the neoliberal agenda has as one very important part of its vision is to make us all ultimately indentured servants.
And let's go ahead and end it there, actually.
Thank you so much.
That is the neoliberalist agenda, and that is, in fact, why KBOO, your community radio station, is having special programming till 8 o'clock tonight so that we can inform each other, we can take action, and we can fight that neoliberalist agenda that is really making us all indentured servants. George Kafantzis, thank you so very much for joining us this morning on Positively Revolting. We hope to stay in touch with you, kindred soul, and you know, hopefully we can speak with you again in the future. Thank you very much for joining us.
I look forward to it. I really enjoyed.
Oh, good.
Wonderful. And Teresa, with your piratical attitude.
Seconds left on the clock. It's time for Damian Lillard to call in. And the last few seconds to get us over the $1,000 goal. We're waiting for your call, 877-552-6066. You can do it. You can get a copy of the Debt Resistors Operations Manual. You're going to save more than $1,000.
You won't regret it.
Absolutely not. 877-552-6066. I'm talking to you. I'm talking right now. How many seconds we got left, Linda?
We've only got like 50.
seconds left. That's not very much, but it's enough to make the phone ring. 877-500-5266. Thank Ani and Lynn and George for the wonderful show they did by calling in your pledge right now. 877-500-5266.
And we're still waiting for that call, but I know it's coming in. It's coming in. You can count on Damian Lillard.
We want to hear so many phones ringing.
It doesn't matter if it's all zeros, because we're going to get that call, and that's you. And, you know, I would like to suggest that you spend a few minutes on the phone with us and pledge $10 a month. There it is. That's Damian now. I bet there's another Damian out there. I want you to call in, too. Damian number two at 877-500-5266. You know, I can just feel that we are getting into the exciting part of this pledge drive, and I'd like to thank, because I can't read this at all.
It's Wayne. We want to thank Wayne from Portland for calling in during the last segment. We really appreciate
that. Thank you, Wayne.
Every one of you called in, we really appreciate, and we want to get to appreciate you by name as well. Only way we can do that is if you pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266. Say yes to Revolting Radio.
Let's get revolting. Oh, we're out of time.
And thank you.
See you next week. We will have Michael Mead as our guest.
And until then, positively revolting. Okay.
Co-sponsor the 5th Annual Law and Disorder Conference, May 9th through 11th at Portland State University. This conference calls for people, movements, organizations, and collectives to present alternative accounts to